Yeah, so good evening and good morning to everyone. It doesn't matter where and from where you've tuned in. I'm Apostle Paul from Second Eighth Week Ministries. I'm a part of the Restored Government of God, and this is my privilege to welcome you to this evening's Transitioning into the Covenant course. The focus of the transitioning class is to bring you into the necessary environment where you can start to live in and by the power of God. This environment is necessary because unless you find yourself laboring within the boundaries that God has created, you can never see the true face of Jesus Christ. You can never experience the fullness of Jesus Christ. And on top of that, you can never see the reality of the promises that awaits for those who have covenant faith. So this transitioning class is very important. It's important that one needs to understand that there's a transitioning that needs to take place, that the Lord has a desire to take you from a state of understanding, whatever that might be of God, into the fullness of what He intended for Christ to bring. And this intention of fullness is something that the church and many believers around the world are currently missing. They are running around after all sorts of different books and worship and online educational programs to try and feed the dead soul. You know, when they look at their faith, when one questions your relationship with God, it means that you are not in the necessary environment. Because when you are in the environment where God wants you, you are not on a roller coaster. You are not on a mountain valley experience, but you are on a constant growth cycle where the Lord every single day manifests Himself unto you. The Lord desires that you understand what it means to worship and serve Him in spirit and in truth. There are so many things that one can read in the scriptures, yet never understand. Or you'll never understand the meaning of these things unless you come into this environment where there can be oversight and where there can be apostolic stewardship that can instruct you and lay the true foundation of Jesus Christ within your soul. So there can be no true experience of the fullness of Christ unless there is an agreement to serve God according to the covenant that He sanctified. The covenant that He authorized. And He authorized this new covenant, not by the blood of animals, but by the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son and our Savior. We were all born into a state of ignorance and darkness. And while searching for answers to why we are here and the purpose of life, all we did was exchange one portion of darkness for another portion of darkness. One form of religious practice, which was ignorance, for another. But when God sees that the heart turns towards Him or is responsive to His grace, then He issues more grace. And by this enlightenment, one can then come and be sealed by the Spirit and come into covenant with God. What is edifying for me to reflect upon the last couple of months was to go back to our father Abraham, the father of faith. And it's edifying to go back to Abraham for this specific reason, that Abraham grew up in a house where his father, his brothers, his uncles, his whole family was in the business of making gods. His father specifically made gods out of stone and wood and gold. And as Abraham helped his father building these gods, Abraham started questioning, how is it possible that we must pray to these gods and worship these gods, yet we make these gods? And as Abraham questioned the gods that he found, you know, the gods that his fathers and his families and his traditions served, that questioning and searching led Abraham to have a desire to know who the God of all gods was. And because Abraham had that desire, God could communicate to him. God could see in the depths of Abraham's soul that Abraham really desired to know God. And that is why it's edifying to reflect that it doesn't matter in whose house you grew up and with what tradition you grew up and who instructed you and what philosophies you've been carrying around your whole life. If you have a heart and a desire to know God, to really know who the Almighty God is, in that, and you want to touch Him and you want to feel His presence and walk in the fullness that He has provided, His grace will draw you into covenant. That is His promise. Because you, if you are of that seed, we are of the seed of Abraham. And the Lord made many promises to Abraham. But the one specific thing that we know that the Lord does, that the Lord leads and guides those who desires Him. Okay, so once the soul is awakened by grace, and again, grace is an element of the kingdom of God. Grace is the substance that flows from the throne room. It is the most important element to understand, because this element is the bedrock of our faith. Without grace, there's nothing. There's nothing to respond to. We cannot have faith in God unless He issues His grace. And grace is also the most misinterpreted element of the New Testament. People throw around the word grace. The Lord had grace on me yesterday, and I'm looking for grace there, and I felt the grace of God. They don't know what they are defining. They don't know who they worship. Like Jesus spoke to the Samaritan woman at the well. You know not who you worship. And it's the same with grace. They know not what they are calling for. They do not know what they are trying to define. Grace is that substance that draws you. So once the soul has been awakened by grace, it has to have a form of activity for faith to express Christ. That is the purpose why God gives grace. That revelation of the kingdom of God, it's the substance that flows from God. And that substance is demanding a response. The Lord is asking us to respond, and faith is our response to the grace of God. So the next stage of your relationship with God is to learn how to enter into an activity so that your faith can express the one who loved us, washed us, and took us to Himself. Without that expression, the soul falls back into a state of trance, and then it tries to make sense of things in darkness. We all have experienced the grace of God at one time or another. All right, so I was hoping that I have a specific friend that I wanted to be online this evening, but there are many people that don't quite understand when I say the experience with grace of God, if you've never had that. So some of you might want to ask, what does it mean to have an experience with the grace of God, or to be touched by the grace of God? This is that moment where you had the aha moment, the moment you realized that there is more to life than just existing in this dimension. The moment where you have asked, what does all of this mean? What is the purpose of my existence? Asking these questions, questioning the things that you are seeing and working with on a daily basis, questioning, where is my hope? Where is my reality? Because one thing that we could see that COVID-19 has done, this pandemic has touched people in a way that they've never been touched. The Lord has brought separation between family members, between members that wanted to go to church. God brought the separation especially so that His grace can touch people, so that people can question, so that they can have this moment with grace where they realize that there's more to life than what they are pursuing. You know, why am I not feeling complete even though I have all the natural things in place? I have a family, I have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, I have caring friends, I have a lovely home, you know, I have food in my belly, I have running water. It doesn't matter what forms part of your surroundings. None of these things can complete the soul. Because the soul will still cry out for more and more and more, even though you can try and convince yourself that I have everything in place. And we can see that with the billionaires today. They have more money that they could spend in 100 lifetimes, yet they just pursue more and more because the soul cannot be satisfied with anything that this dimension provides. And that it is Satan and it is his principalities in the unseen kingdom that keeps promoting and keeps manipulating the thoughts of men to believe that they can pursue things in this dimension that can bring completion. It cannot. So what does the Lord do? He brings forth a pandemic around the whole world. He puts people in their homes so that they can start questioning, what do I believe? What is the purpose for my existence? Am I truly in God's favor? Does God hear my prayers? Why am I losing my business? Why is my family life falling apart? So whatever the circumstances are, the purpose of these things is for God to draw you to himself. And even for those who are in covenant, this has been a wonderful time of consecration where we could put our foot to the pedal and change gears. That we can stop moping around and, you know, scratching the surface, so to speak. That we would dig deep and go beyond the veil and mature in the wisdom of God. Maturing to God is everything. The reason why God touched you initially with his grace is to draw you so that you can, your eyes can be open to see, all right, God is expecting of me to have a covenant relationship with him. God isn't expecting of me just to acknowledge that he exists or to acknowledge that Jesus is the Savior. This is just a part of it. God says, I want a living relationship with you. I desire for you to eat at my table every day. I'm not going to come down out of my throne room to partake of your table so that I can listen to it, all your lacks and fears and wants. Therefore, I would have to do that to 6 billion people. And therefore, God in his wisdom created his covenant, created his Christ as a plan before the foundations of the world, that we would only have that place of fellowship with the Almighty when we come into covenant with him. So yes, grace is that substance of the Lord that touches you to draw you so that you can find purpose and direction. As a covenant Christian, there is nothing more valuable than having the not just the ability, but the awareness of our purpose, knowing the plan of God, seeing the plan of God, touching that plan, working with that plan on a daily basis, just brings the reality of God's kingdom in front of us, that we might know that we were created by God for God. You know, we were all born into sin, like I brought out, and all of us have different backgrounds and we have different aspirations and we have different goals. And with all of these things, we are drawn into different directions. And Satan so easily can confuse one that there might be purpose in the things that you are doing on your day-to-day basis. But the only thing that carries eternal value is a priesthood that is connected to the covenant of Jesus Christ, that functions under the headship of Christ, that functions under apostolic governance. When that is in place, your faith is strong. It doesn't matter what circumstances you go through. We all are going through diverse circumstances. We all face challenges on a daily basis. The question is, are you overcoming these challenges that you are facing? Are you growing through your cycles of growth? Or are you merely identifying everything that's going wrong in your life, but not understanding the purpose of these things? Because for the scriptures testify that all things work for the good of those who God loves. All things. So there is nothing that can transpire in our lives that did not go through the eyes of God and the hands of God. God authorizes everything in your life. Every single thing. That is his mercy for those who come into covenant with him. Yes, God has compassion on all, and it rains on the just and on the unjust. But in these last seconds before the rapture of the church, the Lord is calling forth those who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Not those who have a zeal for God, which is not according to knowledge. Because we know that that is what Apostle Paul brings out very clearly in Romans. That there are those who have zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And because they are ignorant of the righteousness of God, they go about and establish their own righteousness. And sadly, that is what's happened for 2,000 years now, since the first apostles were replaced and died out, that men came in and they taught believers a gospel that focused on man's needs and wants. And it didn't focus on Christ. It didn't focus on the priesthood. It didn't focus on the plan of God. And therefore, God couldn't be real to these people. They struggled with their faith. They struggled with their consistencies. They went through diverse circumstances, yet never growing. All right, so that is why in these last seconds before his return, he's sounding out his grace. He's sounding out his knowledge on all social media platforms. And he's saying to those, are you hungering and thirsting after more? Are you satisfied with the gospel of the flesh that on a daily basis frustrates you? Come into covenant. And there's two things that has to happen for you to come into covenant with God. The first is that which most Christians do. They all believe in the Messiah. They all believe that that Messiah died for them on the cross. They believe those things, that he is the sanctified one that would bring completion. But what people struggle with is to agree to express their faith within the boundaries of the knowledge of the kingdom of God. They want to express themselves freely. We live in an age of people's opinions and the laws thereof. People feel the right. I feel that I should express my faith this way, whether it's singing or music or whatever it is. People do not want to express their faith according to a certain system. And these are the things that must happen if you want to come into covenant with God. Because a covenant relationship, when the foundation of truth is laid within your heart, when you then turn to the scriptures, you aren't flapping around through the books trying to find, Lord, please just guide me a little bit. Show me something in my life that would give me meaning because I'm feeling empty. A covenant Christian, one that has the foundation of Jesus Christ laid within his heart, turns to the scriptures and sees the plan of God. Turns to the scriptures and sees the face of Christ because he understands that the Bible, the scriptures, were written to testify of God. The scriptures were never written to testify of man. Yet 33,000 denominations all have extrapolated for themselves out of the scriptures a gospel that suits them. And therefore the Apostle Peter made it very clear that no scripture is there for private interpretation. No scripture. Something that just really stood out to me last week going through the book of Revelations was the instruction that Jesus gave to the Apostle John to the seven churches of Asia. And what was quite edifying reading these instructions to the seven churches was the fact that not all of these churches were in covenant with God. All of these churches were established by the doctrine of the apostles. And because they were instructed, they knew the foundation of God. They knew what God was expecting. So when Jesus gave commandment of certain things and made certain promises, they knew how to do these things. They knew how to be obedient. Now, just quickly, I'm not going to run through, but chapter 2 and chapter 3 are the two chapters that the apostle, that Jesus now speaks to the churches. Now in chapter 2 verse 7, I'm just going to quickly turn there. So to each of these churches, Jesus starts by saying, I know your works, I know your love, I know your faith. And then he makes a declaration that he sees their faith. And then he also brings to light that which the Lord wants to, what the correction that the Lord brings. And then to each of these churches, the Lord makes something very clear. He says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church. To him that overcomes, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of paradise of God. All right, so this is the first unction of the Spirit to him that overcomes. Alright, so, and then in verse 11, again, he says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. He that overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Alright, and then in verse 17, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knows, save him that receives it. This is not just a white pebble that you pick up on the beach that will have a name on that you can just keep in your pocket. This is way deeper and more powerful than what any of our imaginations can fathom if Jesus makes such statements like this. All right, and then in verse 26, he says again the same thing, but and he that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Keeps my works unto the ends, unto the end. And then chapter 3, verse 5, again he says, he that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before the Father and before his angels. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. All right, verse 12. Again, him that overcomes will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him a name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of the heaven from God, and I will write upon him my new name. And he says again, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. And then the last one, verse 21, to him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with the Father on his throne. Now I read these seven, to the seven churches, he says to them all, to him that overcomes. This is the desire of our Father. Our Father has a desire. And it is amazing just to think about it, that the Almighty God, the Creator of all things, the one that is omnipresent, all-knowing, all-powerful, he has a desire to fellowship with his children, with that which he creates. But he's not going to have fellowship with his children on the basis of their needs and lacks and wants. He's going to have true fellowship with them if it's according to the terms that he has set. Sorry, saints, I've got a small puppy outside. She wants to come in, but she can't come in now. So God has this desire, and once we come into this covenant with him, he starts unfolding his plan, and he starts showing us what is this that we need to overcome. Because coming into covenant with God isn't just God seals you with his Spirit, and he writes your name in the book of life, and he gives you a couple of doctrine, and he says to you, you know, you just bite down on the gum guard and just endure right unto the end, and all these wonderful things. If you overcoming is not just enduring hardship. Overcoming means that you are walking with God upon the revelation of the Spirit, that you're allowing the Spirit to circumcise from your heart that which offends God. God is willing to take you just the way you are. It doesn't matter from what religion you come from, or what your background is, or what your principles are. The Lord says, I will take you just as you are. If you accept my terms, I will accept you. But on this condition is that you will have to mature. You will have to overcome things. And if you learn to overcome by the revelation of the Spirit, and you learn to walk within your cycles of growth, which are all things that you will learn as you study the knowledge of God, as you participate in his kingdom, the Lord will show you these things. Because it's the Lord's desire, and I want to get back to that desire, to show you his promises. Remember, the plan has always been Christ, that we in this dimension could only experience fullness when we are in Christ Jesus. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, I want to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. So when we are in Christ in this dimension, that's the only environment where we can experience the fullness of God. We will never be removed from contradiction in this dimension. Contradiction will remain in this dimension. You will wake up in the morning, you will have to make a decision. What will you do first? Will I fill my vessel with the things of God's kingdom, or will I just go through my day and participate in whatever duties I have to do? But every day, you will face adversity. You will see the face of death. You can either choose to see the face of death with the wisdom of God, or you will see the face of death without the wisdom of God, and you might not even realize you are seeing the face of death, and you will have no cognitive understanding whether you are truly overcoming or not. Because God wants to unfold to you His promises. He wants to show you what it means when He says, I want you to know that you will sit on my throne one day. I want you to know that I'm going to clothe you with an eternal body. You will lose that of the flesh, that which pains and aches and is stiff. You will get a new glorified body that you will exist in for eternity. The Lord wants to unfold to you, especially in these last minutes, what is awaiting those who are holding on. Not just holding on, like I said, biting on your gum guard, enduring unto the end, but bearing forth fruit unto the Lord. That is the Father's desire, that when we have this fellowship with Him, that substance which He gives will actually permeate in our souls, and it will bring forth the likeness of our Father. Because we were born with the likeness of the first Adam. We were born into a system of sin. We did not know God until we came into covenant with God. And therefore, there are many things that the Lord needs to purge from our souls. And that's why a covenant relationship is such a wonderful environment to find yourself in, because you are then in the care of the Almighty God. Because it's only in covenant that you can be righteous. And we know that the Scriptures testify that the Lord hears the prayers of the righteous. He loves the prayer of the righteous. He takes great delight in our petitions and in our sacrifices. Why? Because the righteous are taught how to sacrifice unto the Lord. The righteous aren't just approaching the Lord with unordered thoughts, just throwing things around in chaos. There's order in the house of God. God cannot bring order to your thoughts and to the chaos in your soul if you don't come into an environment where the power is given to the Spirit to circumcise from your heart things that offend God. And therefore, the first tool that the Lord gives you when you come into covenant is praying in the Spirit. That's why the Lord says, I want to seal your faith. Our father Abraham received the token. He had to circumcise the foreskin of his flesh. That was the token, the seal, the sign that the Lord put on Abraham for that covenant. To say to him, Abraham, those in your house, those who are in my covenant that come from you, have to be circumcised. In Jesus Christ, God demands that we are circumcised spiritually. God says, I want to put the seal of my approval upon you, and I can only do that if you come into covenant. And when you come into covenant and I seal you with my Spirit, I'm going to give you a powerful tool. I'm going to give you that tool of tongues that you can use wherever you go. Wherever you go, when you're driving in the car, whether you're in the shower, walking around outside, driving your mountain bike, it doesn't matter. You can use this tool. And when you use this tool, you allow the Holy Spirit to go through the caverns of your soul and identify the areas of need where healing needs to take place. And it's for that reason why the Apostle Paul says, we do not know how we should pray as we ought to, but the Spirit makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. All right, saints, thank you for joining me. I would just love to end off this evening with the prayer that our father Abraham prayed while he was in the presence of God. I found this prayer to be extremely edifying. And for those of you who would like to read this prayer, you can just Google it in your search bar. This prayer is in the Apocalypse of Abraham, and it's a very edifying read. It's edifying to see that God took Abraham with a mighty angel into heaven, and the things that Abraham experienced while he was there. And at the end of this experience, what was edifying is that the angel tapped Abraham and said, Abraham, the Almighty One is approaching you. And even though you cannot see him, Abraham could hear thunderings and lightning and roaring of oceans. You know, I just trying to imagine what Abraham see there, it's impossible. But as God was approaching him, the angel of the Lord touched Abraham and said, Abraham, I'm going to teach you a prayer, and I want you to recite this without ceasing. And just listen. Because the angel taught Abraham this prayer, we know that this prayer actually originated in the bosom of God. And this is why it is so edifying to me, because God wanted Abraham to understand what is it that God, how he wanted Abraham to see God, and what God's desire was for Abraham. So just bear with me. I'm going to try and read this prayer, and then I'll be ending off for us in prayer. He said, the prayer goes like this: Eternal, mighty, holy El, God, only supreme, you who are the self-originated, the beginningless one, incorruptible, spotless, uncreated, immaculate, immortal, self-complete, self-illuminating, without father, without mother, unbegotten, exalted, fiery one, lover of men, benevolent one, bountiful one, zealous over me, and very compassionate, El, my God, eternal Jehovah, very gorgeous, you are the one whom my soul has loved, eternal protector, shining like fire, whose voice is like thunder, who looks like the lightning. You are the all-seeing one who receives the prayer of all such as honor you. Isn't that beautiful? You are the all-seeing one who receives the prayers of all such as honor you. We cannot honor God if we are not in covenant, because if we are not in covenant, we are in ignorance. And if we are in ignorance, we do not know what God is accepts and expects. And therefore, we will honor God with the things of this dimension, which is less than God. It's blasphemy. It's not what God desires. Okay, and turn away the requests of those who embarrass you with their provocations. That is exactly what happens when we are not in covenant with God, when we do not know what God expects. We provoke God. We embarrass him. All right, and then the prayer goes on. Who dissolves the confusion of this world, which arise from the ungodly and the righteous mixed up in the confusion of the corruptible age, and the renewing the age of the righteous. Shine, O Lord, shine as a light, even as the light with which you clothe yourself on the first day of creation. Shine as the light of the morning on your creation, and let it be the day upon earth. For in these heavenly dwelling places, there is no need of any other light than the unspeakable splendor from the light of your countenance. O answer my prayer, O be well pleased with it. O accept my sacrifices, which you have prepared for me to offer. Isn't this beautiful? Accept my sacrifices, which you have prepared for me to offer. And this is what the second covenant priesthood allows us. The Lord prepares those things for us. He has given to us all things for life and godliness, and therefore he will accept our sacrifices and our petitions. Might not always play out as we would hope for, but we have the confidence that what we petition the Lord, he hears us. We can just hear. We are of the seed of Abraham when we are in covenant with God. And because we are of that seed, this prayer has meaning for us too. And it ends off and it says, accept me favorably and show me, teach me all that you have promised. Thank you for bearing with me reading that prayer, but please go and you can go read that prayer. Like I say, it's in the Apocalypse of Abraham. It's found online. It just really, really blessed me and edified me to read this prayer now almost a couple of times a day for the last couple of days, just to see the magnitude of the God that we serve. It's unfathomable. It's, you know, spotless, uncreated, immaculate, immortal. This is the God that we have to deal with. And this God, this Almighty God, loves us. He loves those who are in His covenant. He loves those who labor with the knowledge of His kingdom, who bear the fruits of His Son, Jesus Christ. He takes great delight in those things. And therefore, again, reminding everyone that everything that transpires in your life is from the hand of God. All things works for the good for those who love the Lord. Till next time, guys, thank you so much for joining me. I will be doing this class again next Wednesday. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm going to now end off for us in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you for that all-powerful substance that proceeds from your throne room, Lord. And as it proceeds from your throne room, we know that when it touches us, Lord, it demands a response, Father. We pray for those who are standing at the door, that you will bring them into your house, that they would to experience the fullness of who you are, Father. Thank you for this opportunity to make known the many mysteries of your kingdom. Keep manifesting yourselves unto us, Lord. Thank you for your wonderful and precious promises, Lord, that are a real, tangible substance for those who love you according to your pattern, Father. And we pray for our family members and our lost ones and for much opportunity to preach this gospel. In your holy name, amen.